Captain of Compost, Doctor of Dirt, Old Natural Howard, and lots of other goofy names. I call him Dad. Here he is, the Dirt Doctor, Howard Garrett.
Thanks, Logan, and welcome back. I still forgot to talk about the golf tournament. Just real quickly, we have a family golf tournament. We had about 10 teams, I guess. We came in fifth. Logan and her boyfriend, Bo, were on my team and did really well. In fact, we started out like a house fire. We thought we were going to do it better than we did, but had a great time. Weather was good down in Victoria, Texas, and the Harry the Hat tournament is on the books for 2013 and will happen again next year. So Logan is a very regular player, as is my wife, Judy. They play once a year in the golf tournament. So, anyway, this hour is brought to you. That telephone number, by the way, if you want to jump on here, Maggie's holding. Maggie, I'll get to you in just a second, but a couple of quick things first. The number is 866-444-3478. This hour is brought to you by Howard Garrett's books. My books are kind of an interesting thing. I have 15 of them or so. And there's a new one that's coming up that I'll tell you about when it's time be able to get the book. But the ones that are currently out there are kind of interesting, and I've done something for you after some interesting questions that came up from me posting a picture of all my books on Facebook. Several people said, wait a minute, that doesn't look like the book I have. Mine doesn't look like that. And it dawned on me that with several of the books, and especially two of them, they have changed dramatically over the years from the initial creation of the book and writing it to what it is today. And we did a couple of things. We put information on Facebook. We put information in a newsletter that you may have already gotten. And if you didn't get that, you can go into the newsletter archives on dirtdoctor.com and see that. But the most detailed thing that we did relative to the books is that we did a series of three videos. And in those videos, I explained the books in more detail than I ever have and really talked about the different versions of the books. The two that have changed the most were the first two videos. The first one is not up anymore. The second one is on dirtdoctor.com. The first one you can see on YouTube, or it's maybe still in the members area. Everything we do, all the videos and all the new stuff, shows up in the members area first. So you can go there if you're a member. If you're not a member, you can join. Very inexpensive to be a member of the Organic Club of America. You can join right there online. There's a green button over there on the left-hand side. But what I've explained in the first version was the first book that I did, Plants of the Metroplex. And it went through, I don't know how many iterations it's gone through, because we've changed it so many times I've lost count. Even the cover has changed dramatically about three times. So you can see where it started, and you may have one of the old books that is a collector's item, because the old ones were back before I was organic, and I was still recommending things like synthetic fertilizer and Diaznon and Dursban, and it shows what the most current version looks like. People from a much larger geographic area have used that book, because it's so simple to use. It's a little paperback book, perfect bound book, and it covers photographs and basic information about plants that are the kind of guts of the plant palette that I recommend that works all over Texas and probably a lot of other states as well, as the skeleton of a landscaping program. It explains planting procedures that I recommend, and maintenance procedures that I recommend. And of course, the current version is totally organic. The second video, which is playing now on dirtdoctor.com, is an explanation of the other book that has changed the most, and it was the first organic book that I wrote, and it's called The Organic Manual. And it started off as a giveaway, a free handout at seminars where I explained the organic principles and taught people from the industry how to go organic. It was requested a lot more after the event, and we turned it into a little book, and it has changed, I don't know, 5 or 6 times at least, and I kind of go through that for you in the video. So I hope that helps, and if you've got one of the older books, you can hold me hostage with that and point out, like some of my friends have done, that I used to recommend the toxic stuff and no longer do. But it will explain to you what are the current versions of the book and hopefully be some help to you. Telephone number to be on the show with me, 866-444-3478. Maggie is our friend from Fort Worth and one of the moderators on DirtDoctor.com. Hi, Maggie.
Hello.
What's up?
We had freeze weather a couple weeks ago, and I finally yesterday got out and cleaned up the yard and decided that I would see if there was anything under the now dead sweet potato vines. I just have regular sweet potatoes versus the ornamental ones.
Uh-huh.
And this year it was an all-volunteer crop. Okay. Last year I dug some out, and I evidently left behind bits and pieces of roots, and so they came back on their own. It was a better crop this year, but they still have been shaped underground by grubs or, whatever. Probably snails.
Well, wireworms will get into them, too.
And I left more bits and pieces out there this year intentionally, but I'm wondering what stages and at what point should I start? If I seriously want these to be nice-looking edible potatoes next year, what stages would I go through as far as beneficial nematodes, applications of BT? Is there something else? And how often would I fertilize these?
Well, now, let me get this straight. You actually left and plan on doing it again, these pieces in the ground over winter?
Yeah.
Well, I'm surprised.
They volunteer.
Yeah, I'm surprised you got any growth at all, Maggie. They're really tender as far as frost damage. And that may be why you had stress in the plants and had some more insect damage than you would like. I think you should continue what you're doing because it's a great experimental deal. The first thing I would suggest is that you put out beneficial nematodes right now. And then the second thing is you cover those bits and pieces of sweet potato, which really don't like cold weather, with a very thick layer of shredded tree trimmings mulch.
Okay.
And then the second thing I would recommend that you do is you start over with some nice fresh slips in the spring that have not been exposed to the cold. And I think you're going to see a dramatic difference at how well your production is and how much more damage there will be to those that got to experience the cold soil all winter long, and those that were started in a nice warm greenhouse type situation from slips and were planted, you know, after it got warm in April.
The reason these are is kind of an abusive relationship even, but I had a gorgeous, I just thought they were the prettiest part of the garden, growth of sweet potatoes 2 or 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But I live very close to woods and a creek, and we had mice or rats or something burrow in, and the tops weren't affected, but they ate away a lot of my roots. So I put them on a different part of the yard, way away from where these predators might be habituated to coming in. And I mainly planted them just because I thought they were so beautiful the year before. And I, rather than the ornamental sweet potatoes, I would just put in the quote-unquote real ones. So it's just been a kind of a landscaping production out here, really.
Yeah. Well, you see what I mean. If the potatoes are subjected to a temperature that they don't like – you know, it can create a stress that's going to be there, you know, from now on. What would have been a good idea, but it may or may not be too late to do it now, is to take some of those larger pieces out of the ground and start your some slips inside, you know, in a protected area by a window or under a skylight or in a greenhouse situation, and see if that makes a difference too. You almost have three different experimental conditions going on together.
Yeah, the berm that I planted them on is large enough. I can have three different sets and just keep an eye on them.
I think that'd be good. You got anything else you want to hold on with me?
Well, I do have one other question.
Okay, hang on, and we'll be back in a minute, okay? I'm Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor. Telephone number, and there's open lines for you, except for Maggie's at 866-444-3478. I'm the Dirt Doctor, and I'll be back after this. Okay, gardeners and farmers, for over 30 years, Arbico Organics has been a leading provider to growers nationwide. Arbico Organics offers beneficial insects, natural fly control, mosquito control, beneficial nematodes, grub and beetle control, insect traps, and many other pest solutions. Call 800-SOS-BUGS, 800-827-2847 to speak with one of their friendly specialists, or go online to arbico-organics.com. That's arbico-organics.com.
EcoSafe is the company that provides natural organic pest control that takes care of pests without using harmful toxic products around your pets and family. EcoSafe offers complete commercial and residential pest management, flea and tick control, rodent control, and termite inspections and treatment. Call EcoSafe at 1-855-825-2849 today to make an appointment for natural organic pest control. EcoSafe is also offering franchise opportunities in the pest control industry. So call EcoSafe today at 1-855-825-2849 or go to ecosafepest.com.
BioSI is a leading manufacturer of beneficial microbe and enzyme products. BioSI products help build healthy soil to grow healthy gardens and food crops. BioSI products loosen the soil, reduce fertilization needs, and help reduce irrigation needs. BioSI can be used to treat flowers, lawns, shrubs, and trees, as well as herb and vegetable gardens. Water Doctor by BioSI cleans and maintains ponds, lakes, and water gardens. Contact them today at 866-393-4786 or on the web at biositechnology.com.
Learn to live more natural and organic and be healthier by learning from and purchasing one of Howard Garrett's best-selling books. His natural, organic programs and pest solutions work better in every way and can save you money. You can learn about growing beautiful landscaping, delicious, healthy food crops, pet management, and healthy living. Howard's books are useful coast-to-coast and border-to-border. You can learn about the books on DirtDoctor.com and find them in your favorite bookstore.
Without good health, little else matters. Good health affects weight, skin quality, teeth, hearing, eyesight, and enjoyment of life. It also affects your energy, controls your allergy sensitivities, and helps prevent the degenerative diseases like diabetes, arthritis, heart disease, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, MS, and cancer. Here are a few ideas on living a more healthy life. Drink water from glass or stainless steel rather than from plastic bottles. Plastic, especially the soft plastic bottles, outgasses contaminants that accumulate in the body and negatively affect your health. Eat food that is grown or raised naturally and prepared with little or no processing or toxic chemicals. Exercise regularly. Walk or do more vigorous exercise on a regular basis. Work out with a partner or join a yoga, fitness, or martial arts class. Visit howardgarrett.com today for more information and products to help you live a healthier lifestyle.
Black cow, the mature manure black cow.
If you want the best-looking grass in the neighborhood, top-dress your lawn now with up to a half inch of Black Cow composted cow manure. This gives the dark, rich organic matter in Black Cow time to work its magic on your yard before summer arrives. Millions of beneficial bacteria begin to work, improving your soil. It's a natural fertilizer that releases nutrients slowly, the way Mother Nature intended. Laying new sod this year? Spread a layer of Black Cow evenly over the entire area, then lay your sod. Have bare spots? Enrich the soil in those areas by working Black Cow into the native soil. You'll be surprised how quickly bare spots will fill in. For the best looking grass this summer, apply Black Cow now. Look for the bright yellow and black bag at your garden center and visit us on the web at blackcow.com.
Black Cow, the mature manure, Black Cow.
Here are some myths and truths about healthy eating. Myth: vitamin B12 can be obtained from certain plant sources such as blue-green algae and soy products. Truth: vitamin B12 is not absorbed from plant sources. Modern soy products increase the body's need for B12. Myth: animal fats cause cancer and heart disease. Truth: animal fats contain many nutrients that protect against cancer and heart disease. Elevated rates of cancer and heart disease are associated with consumption of large amounts of processed vegetable oils. Myth: children benefit from a low-fat diet. Truth: children on low-fat diets suffer from growth problems, failure to thrive, and learning disabilities. Visit howardgarrett.com for more information on living a healthier lifestyle and for finding great natural organic products.
It is not uncommon for the air inside a home or office to be more toxic than the air outside. This is because of the presence of toxic materials that outgas and the fact that homes and buildings are better sealed and insulated than ever before. Keeping windows open as often as possible allows fresh air in and keeps toxins flowing out. This is especially important when cleaning your home. Skip the store-bought air fresheners and instead try boiling cinnamon, cloves, or any other pleasant herbs. Also, plants may not make your house smell different, but are good for filtering contaminated interior air. Natural organic cleaning products are now on the market and are competing for that spot under your sink. They are non-toxic and they do not put off toxic gases. Visit howardgarrett.com for more information on how to live a healthier lifestyle and to find great products for your home that work well and don't contaminate the air.
All right, Howard, back with you, and we were visiting with Maggie, and she had one more thing. What's up, Maggie?
Well, when I walk the dogs, we typically weave up and down the street. They're looking for the acorns and the pecans, and we just haven't seen any this year. Is it just our neighborhood, or is it the whole area?
It might just be your neighborhood, because I've seen quite a production of acorns and galls both this year. It's been kind of an interesting year, but I guess maybe it's spotty, and it probably goes along with the roller coaster weather. You know, we've had cool, we've had hot, we've had rain, and it's been kind of all over the map, up and down. But there's been pretty good
pecans in the trees, on the ground.
They're still there, but not mature.
No, I'm not even seeing them. You know, you look up and you see those little outlines as the leaves start to come down, but I'm not seeing any.
Well, what happens when you get no production at all? A lot of people think that pecans are alternate year bearing. That's really not what happens. What happens is, as those nutlets start to first develop, if you don't get any moisture in the soil during that period of time, they'll abort. They'll kick off at that point. That's why you don't see anything now, if that's what happened. And the rain has been real spotty, and you probably went through some drought in that area, and once it's droughty down deep in the soil. You know, we've talked about that quite a bit. You've got to put the garden hose or sprinkler on and let it run for hours and hours and hours to rebuild that moisture on down deep in the soil. I'm talking about below just 2 or 3 inches on the surface. It can look like you have enough moisture, and that's another thing that can trick you on new trees. It looks like there's enough moisture right at the surface, but there needs to be moisture down 18 inches deep in the soil or deeper.
Well, this would be my neighbors having to do all that so we can harvest their nuts. So I don't know if we'll get that cooperation. But my dogs, it's like pigs after truffles. They get under those trees, and if they're with me, I don't get very many nuts.
Well, that's a good. That's
we just
smart
haven't
dog.
Had any luck.
Pardon me?
We haven't had any luck this year just because there just seems to have been no production. This is Southwest Fort Worth.
Yeah. Well, all you got to do is figure out some way to get them tuned in to watering at the right time, or hope we get rain at the right time from now through that nutlet setting period next year.
Thanks a lot.
Good luck. By the way, appreciate all the stuff you do on the website and the forums. Good photography. If y'all haven't been to the forums, the chat rooms, Maggie is Northwesterner on DirtDoctor.com and the forums, and she really puts some great answers and research and photographs on there for you. So check it all out.
Thank you.
Thank you, Maggie. Talk to you later.
Bye-bye.
Here's Beverly and Kaufman next up. Hi, Beverly.
Hi. Listen, I've got, we're remodeling and we're adding on, and I've got a red oak tree that I planted 14 years ago that's going to have to be moved, and the diameter is 27 inches.
Okay.
What's my chances of this being a successful move?
Well, that was exactly the next thing I was going to talk about on trees. A 27-inch what kind of tree?
Red oak.
Red oak? I wish you had said live oak. Live oak is a little easier to do. Red oaks are among the more sensitive. You can move a 27-inch tree either with a gigantic, huge ball and burlap situation and cranes and all that kind of thing, or you can move it and bare root it. And there are people in the United States that specialize in that and do it. It costs less than moving the tree with the big ball on it, and you'll have pretty good success. As far as odds, it would be real high if it's done now through 2 months from now during that period of time. And what you do is you dig a big hole beside the tree and you go down and you use an air spade and you take all the soil off of the roots. And while you're doing that, you continue to moisten those bare roots, and you continue to moisten them while you move it to the new location. The ideal time is not quite now with the red oak because it probably still has leaves on it, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah.
And they're probably still green. So as soon as we get enough cold weather for the fall color to show on that, in the meantime, you could be planting all this and do it. You'd probably have, I'd say, 90% chance of it living, but it would be an expensive proposition.
Well, we're do-it-yourselfers, so we're going to put a screw on the back of a tractor and, I guess, drill the holes around. At least that's what I'm thinking. I've got a friend that's got a backhoe, so which would be better?
You're talking about to lift the tree?
No, to get the dirt away from the root system.
Well, if you do it with a backhoe, you're going to destroy the roots.
Yeah.
That's the problem. Now, the people that do the bare rooting, and there's people up in the Midwest, and then More Tree Care has the most experience around this part of the world. What they do basically is that they root prune the tree for ideal odds. They root prune a year in advance of the move, and they root prune at instead of 10 inches of root ball per inch of caliper of the trunk, which is the typical formula for ball and burlap, they double it. They do 20 inches of root ball for each inch of trunk diameter, and they dig a trench and they cut the roots at that point.
That's pretty wide out, far out there then.
Yeah, but they're planning on bare rooting it later. And then what they do is they dig it a year later after those roots have filled back in, back at toward the trunk. Can you hang on for a little bit?
Sure, sure.
Don't go away, and we'll talk about this just a little more. I'm Howard Garrett talking about bare rooting trees, and we'll talk about some smaller ones, which is a little easier too. So don't go away. I'll be back.
SRN News, I'm Val Dior. Four fatalities and dozens of injuries, including several that are critical after a Metro North passenger train derailment in New York City. The southbound Hudson Line train had left Poughkeepsie at 5:54 this morning, was due to arrive at 7:43 at Grand Central. The NTSB on the way to begin the at least days-long investigation. Al-Qaeda's American spokesman says the U.S.'s kidnapping of an Al-Qaeda suspect from Libya is a crime of piracy, urging Libyans to attack U.S. interests everywhere. anywhere. Adam Gadon, a former Osama bin Laden spokesman, said in an audio speech posted on militant websites that Abu Anas al-Abi had no role in the 1998 bombings of two U.S. embassies in Africa because he left al-Qaeda and formed a new group. U.S. Special Forces snatched al-Abi off the streets of Tripoli in October and detained him on a U.S. warship before bringing him to the U.S. to stand trial. This is SRN News.
I will never forget the day my son Jeremy told me he hated me and slammed the door in my face. I'm behavioral therapist Janet Lehman. Behavior problems can turn the child you love and your life into a nightmare. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Transformation, the step-by-step program that shows you how to fix the worst behavior problems and get your child to respect and listen to you again. No matter what the behavior, defiance, backtalk, angry outbursts, disrespect, we can help you stop it. Now you can get the Total Transformation for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. You can keep it forever for free.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now 1-800-581-7226. 1-800-581-7226. That's 1-800-581-7226. 1-800-581-7226.
With SRN Sports, I'm Patrick Foss. Auburn clinched a spot at the SEC title game with a stunning victory over two-time defending national champion Alabama. The unbeaten Tide several times seemed poised to continue its run toward a three-peat, but couldn't put the Tigers away. With 1 second left, number one Alabama kicked a 57-yard potential game-winning field goal. When the kick was short, Chris Davis returned the missed field goal more than 100 yards for a touchdown in the final play to lift number four Auburn to a memorable 34-28 victory. Alabama coach Nick Saban says the decision to let freshman kicker Adam Griffith kick the field goal at the end was the right one.
First time I've ever lost a game that way. First time I've ever seen a game lost that way. Griff makes him from 60, you know, in practice. There was a shot. We had to win behind us.
Second-ranked Florida State is expected to move to number two slot after beating Florida 37-7. Undefeated Ohio State could move to number two in the BCS standings after escaping with a 42-41 win over Michigan. Wolverine coach Brady Hoke on why they went for two.
We weren't doing a good job slowing them down, and we wanted to go win the football game.
This is SRN Sports. Auburn will play Missouri next week's SEC title game. The fifth-ranked Tigers down number 19 Texas A&M 28-21. Missouri wide receiver LaDainian Washington, who caught six passes for 97 yards and a touchdown, says few people gave his team much of a chance when the season started.
I wouldn't say it's embarrassing, but inside you feel some kind of way. And I related that message to our team. They laughed at me when I said 11-plus wins. We still on a mission.
Eighth-ranked Stanford beat Notre Dame 27-20. The Cardinal faced number 13 Arizona State, a 58-21 winner over Arizona in the Pac-12 championship game. Number 9 Baylor outscored TCU 41-38 to keep alive their quest for a possible BCS bowl appearance. Number 10 South Carolina beat 6th-ranked Clemson 31-17, while 11th-ranked Michigan State was a 14-3 winner over Minnesota. The Spartans play Ohio State in the Big Ten title game. Penn State upset number 14 Wisconsin 31-24. It was 22nd ranked UCLA downing USC 35-14. Number 24 Duke beat North Carolina 27-25. Duke faces Florida State in the ACC title game. With SRN Sports, I'm Patrick Foss.
All righty, Howard, back with you. And Beverly and I were talking about bear rooting a big tree. Beverly, you can, if you do this 20-inch business, if you root prune it and then do it a year later, you'll have almost 100% chance of being successful with it. But you're going to need some pretty big equipment still to lift the tree, even if it doesn't have any soil on the ball. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
It's a big operation. You can do it with anything that's big enough to handle that kind of weight, and you'll just have to, you know, do some calculations about how much weight that is and what kind of equipment you'll have, because as you dig a hole beside it and bare root it with an air spade or however you're going to do it, it's going to have a tendency to fall that direction, so it's going to have to be held up by the equipment while you're uncovering the roots.
We've got a tractor, and we'll just put a hoist up in another tree that's right by it. I'm not worried about that.
Okay.
The tree, I have to move it. It's either going to be cut down or I have the chance of trying to move it and save it. So either way, the tree has to be moved, and we don't have a year. This is going to happen this spring.
Well, go ahead and attach the equipment to it. Take your backhoe and go out, 25 or 30 inches per inch away from it and dig down, and then slowly but surely remove all the soil from the where the cut is back toward the trunk. Otherwise, you're not going to be able to lift it. It's going to weigh way too much. You'll have to have a crane to lift a tree that big.
Well, we've got sandy loam out here.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll...
you can get it away from it pretty easily then.
Yeah.
Move it, keep it moist, spray mycorrhizal fungus and bacteria on those roots. There's a product called Plant Success that's a gel-like material. You mix with water and you spray it on there and it sticks on the roots better. Move it to the new location without the roots drying out. Backfill, just like I always talk, with the soil from the hole, and it'll probably live without any problem at all.
Well, I'll tell you what. I'll call you next fall and tell you if it's still alive or not.
Let's have some photographs, too, okay?
Thank you very much.
All right, thank you. Now, that's a big deal, folks, to move a tree that big, but it can be done, but you've got to realize that even with all the soil off of those bare roots, you're still dealing with a very heavy piece of wood, and you got to have the right kind of equipment to do it. On the other hand, one of the videos I'm about to do for you, and I'm going to do it probably this Wednesday, I noticed some nice-sized little ginkgos at home with fall color. My big ginkgo is going to have terrible fall color this year, like I've already told you, compared to what it normally has, but there's some little 2.5-3 foot seedlings that have popped up under rose bushes in various places, and I'm going to do a video showing you how to bare root that little tree. That's a piece of cake. And for Beverly and anybody else that's got some little seedlings coming up of that red oak she was talking about that are small, you can dig with a shovel around and then gently go in closer and closer and expose it, bare root it by shaking the soil off. The roots won't be that much laterally growing on a little bitty tree like that. They'll be primarily coming off that taproot that's a temporary thing. Taproots are just for small trees. Once they get big, taproot goes away. A lot of people don't realize that. But you can move it easily by keeping it moist, treating it with the mycorrhizal fungus and or bacteria. Mycorrhizae is the most important piece of the puzzle, into the new planting location. And we'll put that on a video for you. It'll show up in the members area, Dirt Doctor, the Organic Club of America first, and then we'll have it on the homepage of DirtDoctor.com and in Facebook for everybody after that. So we'll show you. And I've forgotten about it about 10 times now. I meant to mention this to everybody, and most people are probably okay driving in the morning. But any of you that are driving from Austin back to Dallas or the other way, the traffic and that road is a mess. It took us 4.5 hours to drive from Austin yesterday back to Dallas because there's construction everywhere and there's a lot of people out there. And if you wait till later today, you're going to probably be seeing the problem again. So you might want to go around, do 281, or come some other route than to drive 35. It is very frustrating and a big, big mess. Andrea with Gecko Hardware is with us real quickly. Andrea, what's going on there today?
Oh, it's been a wild weekend, Howard. We had a huge Black Friday sale, and then yesterday was Small Business Saturday, and today all the things that have been on sale are trailing through. We've still got lots of goodies going on. Everybody that comes in the store, we give them a free shopping bag while they last. We may run out of them today.
Okay.
Real nice reusable cloth bag. And anything they can stuff inside all over the store, they get 25% off. So
doesn't matter
what it is, even Howard Garrett products.
All right, good. Whatever they are. I don't know what Howard Garrett products are. The ones I recommend, is that what you mean?
All the things you love, Howard.
Okay, all right.
All the fun stuff we carry that you love, we're running a special on those, too. So
super.
Store-wide, if you can stuff George into a bag, you get 25% off.
Oh, I bet you wouldn't let that rooster out of there. I bet you wouldn't do that.
No, we wouldn't. We pretty much love George, that's for sure.
Well, it's a great store. It's a truly green hardware store. It's in East Dallas at
North Lake. Ferndale and Northwest Highway. Now you got me all messed up.
I couldn't think of Ferndale. Thank you for the help. Y'all go out and see Gecko Hardware and tell them what you think. I'm sure you will enjoy it if you haven't been there before. Andrea, thank you very much.
Well, thank you, Howard, and happy holidays to everybody, and we'll see you next week.
Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Howard. Bye-bye.
Let's go to Rome, Georgia once again and talk to May this time. Hello, May.
Good morning. I enjoy your show so much, even to the part where you're taking hold and those birds are chirping. I'm an avid bird watcher. And
well, good
so
for
I
you.
I love the bird sounds.
Good for you.
The question that I have, and I live, even though I live here in Rome, just over the Alabama line, I have a little lake lot. And I have this beautiful maple tree. It's probably as grown, you know, but or as big as it's going to get. And my problem is, and I've had them for years, but I'm undecided what to do. A lot of these roots are above the ground. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I don't know if that's caused from our strange weather that we have. You know, sometimes we're really, really dry and all that type of thing. But all these roots are like half a hand high, some of them, and it's hard to mow grass. You can't dig and put out other plants or anything. I'm thinking about maybe having more soil hauled in and put on that, or what would be your suggestion?
Well, May, this is a good question, and it relates to what we've been talking about all morning. The thing that the tree would like the most is for you not to do a thing. Those big high roots.
It's just hard to mow the grass.
I understand, but those big roots are connected to the flares of the tree. You probably have a big flare exposed above the ground. If you don't, sometimes what happens is the roots will be too deep at the tree, and then they'll come up to the surface.
Well, I don't know if I planned it correctly whenever my sister and her husband gave it to him for a birthday present years ago.
What is the flare showing at the trunk?
It's just like, you know, the tree does really good. It's, the trunk part all, you know, it's pretty good size at the bottom.
Well, okay, good. It sounds like
these other trees that I'm having no trouble with, I think they may be all maple. I have a magnolia tree there that's beautiful.
Well, I tell you what, let's do.
My pearls are pretty good. And the other question I have while I'm on.
Well, hang on just a minute. What you ought to do is send me a picture, if you don't mind, and I can put it on Facebook and on the website, and I can get back with you and tell you exactly what to do. But I would think that my best advice, without seeing the pictures, is to leave it alone. It likes a big flare. It likes the roots exposed. If it's hard to mow, you can put in mulch or ground cover instead of grass.
Even yesterday I was down, and the leaves, you know, have all fallen off, and it was kind of windy, and I may have done the wrong thing, but I raked up a lot of them and just put them up around the bottom of the tree.
Don't want to do that. Just mow them into the turf and mulch them into the grass.
Okay.
All right?
Okay.
What was your other question?
The other question was, I'm behind times and don't have the modern stuff. You advertise this, a newsletter. Can I receive that by address?
No, we only do it electronic now, so you're going to have to get into the computer world.
I'm going to have to become more modern.
Yeah, you're going to have to do it. It's pretty simple, you know, to get a simple computer where you can just get email and all, and we send it out by email once a week, and it's no charge, and I think you'll enjoy it.
Your program all the time, and I listen to it and I learn so much from your program. I enjoy it so much, so I appreciate it. And I just didn't know what I might do. I thought, well, I don't need to cut those roots.
No, no.
I know.
Don't want to do that. Just leave them alone and work around them, and that's the best for the trees, and that's the most important part of your property, not the grass.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you, May. Appreciate it.
Bye.
Crazy Rick has a tip, and he's right about it. What's up, Rick?
Well, you know, I was listening to you, and everything you were saying was just spot on. You know, you need to let the water run and really water them pecan trees and such. But the roots that you're worried about, that lady was saying it's all up to her neighbor to water the tree, but she receives the pecans. You know, if the drip line is over your property line and you want those pecans, you need to start watering, you know, at the drip line and 20, 30, 40, 50, 100 feet away from that tree to be able to produce the best pecans you can.
And it will produce on that side of the tree that's watered better. That's a good point. I should have mentioned that.
Exactly. Well, you know, just trying to keep this conversation going so we get the best produce out of the time and effort that we're putting into the product.
Keep me honest, Rick. Thank you.
Talk to you. Bye.
I appreciate that. And by the way, I was just reading something online yesterday about the great nutritional value of nuts, and one of the best ones there is pecan. Pecan and walnuts are two I eat every day, and I recommend it to everybody unless you got some kind of allergy or something. But almost all nuts, especially if you can get some that aren't grown with, you know, toxic chemicals and everything, would be better. But pecans are just great. And organically grown pecans will have higher quality oil and be better for you than if they're not grown organically. Luckily, the nut trees, you know, they don't spray that many toxic chemicals up in the top of them. They do some, the insecticides and the fungicides or something that we really would rather not be around, but it's not as bad as the stuff that's sprayed on the grasses because of people's phobia against weeds here and there. Kathy in Roanoke next up. Hey, Kathy.
Hey, Howard. Right now, Dallas grass is really easy to see in the yard.
Yep.
What's the best way to take care of it?
With an iron product. It's called a hoe or a shovel. And dig those clumps out and then throw compost back in the holes and be done with it. You know, there's nothing you can spray, the toxic chemical or organic, when they're going dormant like this. It's going to do any good. So physical removal, especially at this time of the year, is all you can do.
How about dry molasses?
Will help to get it out. Hang on, and let's talk off the air. I'm Howard Garrett, and I'll be right back after this.
There is a new version of Garrett Juice. It is Garrett Juice Pro, and Green Industries is the manufacturer. Garrett Juice Pro consists of oilseed extracts, apple cider vinegar, molasses, seaweed, bacteria, and beneficial fungi. There is also Garrett Juice Hybrid for those who haven't gone completely organic. Order today and receive their special offer or buy one, get one free. Call 877-665-2121 or go to GarrettJuicePro.com. Order today. Buy one, get one free. That's 877-655-2121 or go to GarrettJuicePro.com. You already know how great all-natural Crazy Water is to drink. But now there's a Crazy Water bathhouse, which is located in historic Mineral Weld. And it's the only place you can take a natural mineral bath in Texas. Enjoy day treatments or stay for the weekend in our luxurious guest rooms. Enjoy mineral baths, soaking tubs, treatments, and massages. Relax, unwind, and rejuvenate. Call 940-325-8870 to set an appointment. That's 940-325-8870. And don't forget, you can pick up bottled Crazy Water in HEB, Whole Foods, or Central Market. Crazy Water. So good, it's crazy.
Hi, I'm Susie Cohen, author of The 24-Hour Pharmacist and Drug Muggers. I understand the value of medication, but in the process of helping, they can rob the body of many essential nutrients. I call them drug muggers because they spark side effects that are often diagnosed as a new disease. Every medication, whether over-the-counter or prescription, robs the body of beneficial bacteria. That's why I recommend probiotics for anyone taking medication and for good health in general. Bacterial balance is vital for healthy digestion, improved immunity, and tip-top health. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics nurtures the garden of bacteria that is distinctive to your body. Backed by 25 years of research, Dr. O'Hara's exclusive formula uses living bacteria combined in a Japanese fermentation process that sets Dr. O'Hara's probiotics apart from all other brands.
Discover the Dr. O'Hara difference. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide.
Trees become infested with insect pests and diseases when they are in stress and sick. That's when Mother Nature sends in the cleanup crews. Insects and disease pathogens are simply just doing their jobs, trying to take out unfit plants. More plant sickness is environmental. Too much water, maybe not enough water, too much fertilizer, or maybe the wrong kind of fertilizer. Other culprits include toxic chemical pesticides, compaction of soil, and grade changes. There could also be ill-adapted plant varieties, overplanting single plant species and creating monocultures, as was done with American elms in the Northeast. The Dirt Doctor's Tree Health Plan is simple. Keep trees in stress-free condition so their immune systems can resist insect pests and diseases. The sick tree treatment is basically stop using high nitrogen fertilizers and toxic pesticides. Remove excess soil from the root flares, aerate the root zone heavily, apply organic amendments, and spray trees and soil with Garrett Juice. To learn more on maintaining healthy trees, go to dirtdoctor.com.
I'm always working to find new and better organic products. One of the companies that helps me in that regard is the Medina Corporation in Hondo, Texas. They've been helping farmers, ranchers, landscapers, and homeowners with quality soil building longer than anybody in the business. Medina produces fertilizers and soil amendments, both in liquid and dry formulations, that work by stimulating the soil biology to help all crops. Whether growing landscape plants, herbs, vegetables, grasses, or trees, Medina has the products to help you budget wisely, effectively increase production, and treat the environment right. There's a new prilled organic fertilizer called Growing Green Premium Lawn Food that I recommend you try. The commercial version of Garrett Juice Plus is also made by Medina, and it's available in all sizes, quarts, gallons, barrels, and even large totes. Remember to ask for Medina. The website's MedinaAg.com. You'll find the Medina label at all hardware, nursery, and feed stores that sell organic products.
Covering the bare soil around plants is crucial, and there are several mulch choices. The best mulch for any site is shredded recycled plant material such as limbs, leaves, twigs, dead plants, bark, spent flowers, and other plant debris that grew on the property. That's the natural way. How it is done in the forest and on the prairie. Second best would be purchased shredded native tree trimmings. Third in line is shredded hardwood bark. Pine bark and cypress are not good choices. Pine bark is just bad in general. It won't stay in place and contains chemicals that hurt plant growth. Cypress doesn't break down well. Mulch should decompose to create the true natural food to feed microbes and plant roots. Pine needles are good, but look out of place if there are no pine trees on the property. Lava gravel makes good mulch and has the extra benefit of keeping squirrels and cats out, but lava gravel has its negative points. It looks harsher than organic mulches, and it doesn't break down into humus. The best commercial mulch is a mixture of compost and shredded tree trimmings. For more information on mulch, go to dirtdoctor.com. To begin your natural organic program and get your lawn and garden off drugs, just follow Mother Nature's guide. First, stop hurting the life in the soil. Choose only products and techniques that are beneficial to the health of organisms above and in the soil. Stop using all synthetic fertilizers, toxic pesticides, and other toxic chemicals that harm living organisms. Avoid all high nitrogen synthetic fertilizers, especially nitrogen-only products. Toxic weed and feed products are the worst of all. Next, build soil health with aeration and natural organic fertilizers and amendments. And third, use native plants and well-adapted introductions. Finally, water only as needed. The organic program will reduce the watering requirements by about 50%. MoTurf is needed in mulch clippings into the lawn to return nutrients and organic matter to the soil. The natural way is fun, will save you money, and always works better in every way. After all, Mother Nature knows best. For more information about natural organic gardening, visit dirtdoctor.com.
All righty, Howard back with you, and we're going to ease down to Lake Whitney and talk to J.D. Hello, J.D.
Good morning. I wanted to find out, I've got a daughter down here on the lake that has a little greenhouse, and she's into breeding daylilies and different flowers and things.
Good.
And she's having trouble the last few weeks with it being cold like it has been. She's had a heater in this little greenhouse, and she says it's staying so moist in there. It's dripping, and her plants are dampening off.
Well, it's a common problem. She may have to, with a real simple greenhouse, a lot of those conditions are exaggerated a little bit. What she can kill the damping off with, which is usually a mixture of fungal diseases, she can kill it by spraying the product called Bio Wash or Plant Wash.
Okay.
She can soak a cup of cornmeal, whole ground cornmeal, in a 5-gallon bucket of water for 30 minutes or an hour, strain the solids out and spray that cornmeal juice. That will shut down damping off.
Okay.
And she can also use the product that she can find in the nurseries and feed stores and garden centers that sell organic products called potassium bicarbonate. It's like baking soda, but it's potassium instead of sodium.
Okay.
It works pretty well on those things as well. If she will get her one of the products that contain beneficial bacteria and mycorrhizal fungus, that will help long-term to prevent the damping off diseases on her little seedlings as well. Long-term, she needs to figure out how to cut the moisture down and, solve that, but I'd have to see more details to help with that. In the meantime, you can control the pathogens with those techniques I mentioned.
She said that the fire ants moved in just real quick whenever it got cold weather, and I told her to get some DE and spread in there real good, see if that wouldn't stop that and see if that wouldn't take some of the moisture out of there. She said that it, as soon as she put it out, it caked up on her. So she's got quite a bit of moisture.
Yeah, when it's real moist like that, DE won't do you any good. It'll be good for the soil. She can put it into a potting soil and into the ground. But as far as killing the fire ants in there, you probably need to use 2 ounces of orange oil per gallon of water, either mixed with Garrett juice or just with water, and spray and drench those problem areas, and you'll take care of them without any trouble.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Well, good luck. Just get that disease under control and then fix the moisture level, whatever it takes.
Okay. Thank you.
Appreciate the call. Mike in Eureka, California next. Hey, Mike.
Hi. We've got a little bit of an acreage here, and it's just covered in cotone ester. Is there a good way to get rid of that?
Yes, sir. You can get a box scraper and just scrape it off the plant and put it in a big compost pile. Any woody plant, like whether it's cotone aster or holly or whatever, you just need to physically remove it. Anything that you would spray that would be strong enough to kill it would be detrimental to your soil and what you're planning on doing, you know, later on. Ripping it out of the ground, Mike, is the way to go. Grind it up and turn it into a beneficial mulch.
Okay.
And then
now, what is a box scraper?
Well, on a tractor, you've seen just a regular tractor, they have a device that's just a straight blade on the back, and I've used that before just to rip small plants out of the ground. Also, some of them have teeth on them, so they dig into the ground and they rip the plants out of the ground. Anybody that has tractors and larger equipment could help you with that. Any landscape contractor could help you with it.
Okay, thank you very much.
I appreciate your call. Depending on how big they are, that means that'll dictate how big the equipment is that you need to get. But it's always a bad idea to spray something that's big with a killing spray, because then you still got to deal with the dead plant. You still got to rip it out. So you might as well just rip it out to begin with. And if you have a landscape contractor come over and pull it out for you, and grind them up and leave that material on site, there's no better mulch in the world than ground up material that was growing on your property. Shredded tree trimmings, shredded woody shrubs, vines, all that stuff. It's the best mulch there is. Try to never let it leave your property if possible. Well, I've enjoyed being with you today. Great stuff. I've had a flurry of calls there at the end. Those of you that didn't get in, if you've got a question, just send us an email to info@dirtdoctor.com. Go to Facebook, Howard Garrett there, or Dirt Doctor, either one. A lot of conversation and activity there. We're putting a lot of videos and photographs and new things we run into on Facebook. Go to the forums and dirtdoctor.com, the chat rooms, and talk to other gardeners and our moderators there. If you want our free newsletter, just send us an email. Send it to info@dirtdoctor.com or fill out the form on the homepage of the website, dirtdoctor.com. Information on my books is there. The second video covering the second group of books that have changed so much is right there on the top of the homepage of dirtdoctor.com, and you can see the other two videos on YouTube. We'll be doing some new ones for you this week. Stay tuned. Enjoy your gardens out there. Enjoy the rest of this holiday weekend, and we'll see you next Sunday, if not before. You can and hear archives of past shows right there on the website, too, on dirtdoctor.com. All righty, until I see you again, enjoy those gardens, and don't forget to feed and water the birds. And if you have a question during the week, remember, if it comes down to deciding on something, choose the product that will make the earthworms and the life in the soil happy, not kill it. That's the simple test you have to run. Talk to you next time.